Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, broadcasting to you live from an undisclosed location in the Mile High City. Now, for your ears' pleasure, Michael Amadei and JT.
But write one or two indicative words for the future. But I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. At the moment, you're joining with the community of poets from all around the world who join together to celebrate spoken word art and the written word. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic, the August 17th, 2018 edition. I am one of your hosts, Michael Amadei. Sitting across from me is Mr. JT, who keeps everything moving. How are you, sir?
I'm all right.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Doing well?
Doing well.
All right, cool. You're getting ready to go back to, you're hitting your next semester at school this next week.
Yeah.
I'm going back to school this next week.
This is going to be great.
Yeah. I'm going to spend a whole day next week doing CPR training. Woohoo! Again.
Well, it's good to keep up on.
Yeah.
You know, especially if you have a problem with rhythm.
I have a real problem with rhythm.
Because the rhythm is going
to
get
I
you.
I also resent the fact that mouth to mouth is no longer a thing.
Okay.
No, actually, I really don't at all. So looking forward to that. It's been a great kind of last week of summer here. We're really excited about the show tonight. Tonight, we're going to be unveiling the identity of our August 2018 Poet of the Month. Yep. It's going to be a night like that. And then we also have, you know, some great poets who have sent some things in, and we're just really excited to hear about, you know, what's going to come our way this evening. Anything you want to share before we get into rules and stuff?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. The other thing I want to throw out is we have an announcement a little bit later tonight.
Yes.
But next week we're going to be doing a panel, kind of a discussion panel.
That's right.
About your role as a writer for marketing your own work. And we're going to have a couple really, really cool people on. And so that's something I think should be really exciting. We're trying to do something that's going to be valuable to the listeners here. So we hope it is. Let's go over the rules really quickly. Number one, no hate speech. Number two, what is the second rule? I could just throw out rules. I'm trying to codify these things. We haven't written them down since. Okay, I have all the rules. I'll just go through them. So number one is no hate speech. Number two, we try to skew PG-13. We have families that listen occasionally. So, you know, we try to go that direction. However, we're not in the business of censorship. So if you have a really good flow going, we're not going to jump in and stop it. However, if it is a little over the top, we might come in and recommend that you read it during our After Dark segment, which we have the first Friday of each new month. Number three. When we come on the line, please have your poem ready, just so we're not wasting the time. You know, we understand if the screen goes blank, that's fine, whatever. If there's a little technical misstep, no big deal, but just make sure you have it ready. Number four, please be mindful of the length of the poem. We're looking for something that doesn't go over 3 to 5 minutes tops. And if it's a tiny bit longer, let us know, and, you know, we'll, you know, just ask us ahead of time before we come on the air. And then what's the last one? Number, is that all?
No, there's one more, and I just can't remember it right offhand.
My God, we had... Oh, if you have any comments, suggestions for the show, please send it to us in an email. That's the best way to do it because we're never going to remember it. You know, that's just how we are here. All right, so we're going to be doing our first segment here. We need five unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
I'm going to write down these rules in an order here. Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic. Let's do this.
No matter your gender.
No matter your religion.
No matter where you are from.
You have a voice that matters.
You have a poetic home here.
Free from judgment.
Free from hate. Welcome to World Poetry Open Mic.
So, JT, we had... So normally, a lot of people know that we get together during the week.
Yes.
And we had our last kind of meeting for a while.
Yeah.
Just because of school and everything.
Yeah.
This semester, which is just you have a class during the normal evening we get together. And... So we had something really interesting happen. We don't have to go into specifics, but do you want to? How would you describe what happened the other night?
You know, I don't know how to describe it. It was basically
it was just you that caught.
Yeah, I caught the attention of a lady that walked by
just by what we were talking.
And it wound up being this great meeting. You know, by chance.
Total chance.
And, yeah, I think it's just going to be...
I'm not going to name names. We're really hoping we can bring her in
and
connect her to the show somehow. But just very, very cool person. And having looked her up afterwards, quite a heavy hitter as far as poetry goes and a spoken word performance. And we're talking heavy hitter on, like... the highest level heavy hitter. So we're trying to work on something to maybe kind of connect her to the show and to everybody here. We hope we can at some point.
Yeah.
But it was just such a cool meeting, and it just felt really fortuitous, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right, so before we get into everything, sorry, but one second. My nose is like...
Yeah, your nose just starts to explode.
Well, it's the cat.
Yeah, and it's amazing.
It's the cat. It's okay. Yeah. It's a cat, but the cat's cool. I have no problem.
Yeah.
I've still never petted your cat, though.
No, you haven't.
I can't.
I know.
And she's so upset about this.
She is.
But, you know, we'll work it out. Okay. Maybe with a latex glove. We'll be like, hey, cat.
Oh, gosh.
How's it going?
Not like that.
All right. So we do have a submission. We have several submissions, actually.
Uh-huh.
And then we will as well this.
Do you want to announce it now?
Should I?
I think you should.
Okay, let's do it. Before I go to the submission, and there's a reason why we're going to do it like this. We just kind of had to put this together on the fly. We're going to announce our August 2018 Poet of the Month.
Yeah!
Woo-hoo! Poet of the Month. Okay, so our POM for WPOM to August 2018 is Catherine Lee Bates. She was an American writer, poet, professor, and social activist. Although she was a renowned writer and professor during her lifetime, today she is primarily remembered as the author of the words to the anthem America the Beautiful. For 25 years, she lived with her longtime friend and companion, Catherine Coleman, and she was just such a fantastic, amazing poet. She's really worth checking out. Her name is Catherine Lee Bates. Now, unfortunately, there was a period in her life where she became obsessed with another writer, whose car went off the road.
I think you might have that.
She put him in a, and she nursed him back to health, but kind of forced him to write a new book. That was a little black mark on her history.
It was, especially with that sledgehammer and the block of wood.
But then she made up for it when she was on the Titanic and helped a young poor boy named Jack Dawson get into a tuxedo and to win the heart of the rich girl.
Oh, my God.
All right. But in all reality, Catherine Lee Bates is our August 2018 Poet of the Month. All right, now we're going to go to... do you like that one?
That was great.
All right, we're going to go to a submission this time, okay? Mm-hmm. This one is, as has been in many recent weeks, from Namrata Sentoki, a wonderful poet, and I really like her work. This one doesn't appear to have a title. I'm just going to get ready to read it. Give me one second. Okay, ready? Every seashell has a story to tell. Resides a beautiful pearl within it created by the wounds of oyster. Focused on healing, solitary it lies, and one has to struggle to achieve, dive into the depths of the deep blue sea. There the jewels of the sand have heard the love stories and clatter of children playing, but one voice echoes forever within, crashing of the waves on seashore. And that was from Namrata Santoki. Namrata, thank you so much for contributing that beautiful, beautiful piece. If you want to contribute work just like Namrata, there's two ways to do it. One, you can send it to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just put submission in the subject line. Or you can go to our website, go to the contact form, and put it in there. Those are the only two ways to get to us, okay? Cool. All right, now we're going to go to our first caller. There is an amazing invention.
Yes.
An amazing invention. It's not just a normal foot bathtub.
No.
Because that's not enough, man.
It's not enough.
They tried them of all different types of... They had wooden ones. Those just cracked. They didn't work. Stone, too heavy. Too expensive. You know what worked? Enamel. Enamel-footed bathtubs. And you know where they came up with that?
Where?
I'm not even going to say the name of the place, but we know where it is because it houses the poetic genius of Philip from Kentucky.
Impeccable. I agree.
Hey, Philip, how's it going?
Hey. How are you, fellas?
We're doing well, buddy. We're doing well. How was the week?
Oh, it is. It has been hopping and busy, and I'm happy to say that I've been involved with friends and poetry groups and all kinds of stuff. And
love
it's nice
that.
To be accepted.
You know, it is, isn't it?
It is. Most of my life, I've been the oddball, the black sheep, and I'm like, suddenly I got friends hanging out with me. What's going on?
You're like, hey, maybe we can all black sheep down to the bar and kick everybody else out. Start our own country.
Exactly.
You know, normal stuff.
That's exactly right. What about you guys? Had a good week?
We have. There's been something really interesting happening where we're starting to attract somehow more and more kind of like people where we want to go, you know, like when you set your sights on like a higher level and suddenly people mm-hmm. who are on that level start showing up. And mm-hmm. it's really, really cool because I think we're planning on trying to bring it and share it all with you guys as well. And
that's marvelous. Well, you know, count me in. That's my motto.
That's your motto.
That's my count me in, buddy. I'm part of this.
Hey, we're driving through town throwing gasoline on mailboxes. Count me in. That's my motto.
Count me in. I'll bring my baseball bat. We'll destroy some stuff.
Yeah. Woohoo.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, you teacher, you. And you've got school starting next week. What's
I
this
do.
Talk of destroying
I
property?
Know. Well, I got to get it out before I go back and give the kids any
no,
ideas.
No, don't blame you, right? Well, I think I'm number one here tonight. Lucky me. And I will get to it. And thank you for asking about me. And that makes me feel so nice, you guys. Gosh. here we go. The title. Reactions to a painting hung left of center from the open coffin. Autumnal landscape peopled in brushwork oils. Bleak earth tones left over from a funeral gathering. Forlorn orison procession, returning names to unknowns, surrounded by bowed silence, except one whose defiance turns toward dim horizons. Slate suits, black dresses, the color of silhouettes mixed with gray mist, slowly fading through ridges of tall, aged arbors whose October crowns spire above this wan scene of inescapable departure. Break all sundials, an approximate mark of time in eternity. So lamentable they'll listen to Zarathustra as he descends a perilous mountain on his determined way, proclaiming God is dead. And while standing alone, enraptured by this gloom, someone's palm presses into your absence. And there it is.
Philip, wonderful piece and a wonderful read. I do want to tell you, we did have, at a couple moments, we had a slight kind of some sort of audio issue that kind of cut you uh-huh. out a little bit. So I just want you to be surprised when you listen, and we didn't get the whole thing.
Well, you're sweet. Not no worries. And can you tell I'm jonesing for autumn?
You know, yeah, I can. And you know what? I got to be honest. I kind of am too. I'm
ready for funerals and cold.
Oh man, you know, I gotta say, like, there's all these new like play subscription, you know, tickets and things coming out now. And there's like the Vienna, you know, they play like a Vienna New Year's Eve thing with the symphony here and all that. And I'm just kind of like, I'm gonna be all over that stuff this fall and this winter. I'm excited.
Yep, I'm ready for those sweater days. Well, thank you so much, and no worries about the technical stuff. You guys do such a wonderful job, and you're professionals about it, and I salute you for that.
Thank you, sir.
I look forward to the other poets, and thank you so much for having me. Cheers to you guys.
Thank you, sir. Cheers.
All right.
Bye. And that was Philip from Kentucky. Wow, I'm getting tongue-tied for no reason. Leading us off here in our first segment. Now we're going to head to the man who I've heard is a massive Weird Al fan. Let's go to George in Michigan. Hey, George, yes. How's it going?
Hello. Hello.
Hello, hello. Can you hear us?
Am I still in Michigan?
Yeah, I hope you are. I hope you are. Well, wherever you are is good enough, as long as you're here with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody. I trust you had a good week. And
we did.
We always hear you guys again, get started again, and begin our weekend the way it should be.
You know, we feel that way also.
Well, that's good. That's good.
How was your week?
I just got back. I was in the northern part of the state and kayaked down a river with a brother, his grandson, and one of my best pals. And then we did all those things like cigars around the campfire, a few beers, and a few good restaurants and a pizza. So, you know, I did it all. You don't have a pizza and a beer and a, you know, and a kayak and some sunburn. You haven't been up north.
There's no sunburn like a boat sunburn. That's the thing.
We were on a boat right up into a sunset, you know.
Directly into the sunset.
Well, yeah, because there's this flat, you know. So when you go fast enough, you can actually run into that damn thing.
Yeah. And if you have a tight enough trampoline, you can actually go above the sun. People don't know that.
That's right. Above the sun. I'm afraid my poem said it'll be far below it. it was fun though. And, you know, but here it's just humid again and muggy and a little bit rainy and totally ugly. So I'm ready to go into poetry.
All right.
The one I wrote for tonight is actually, you might almost call it drastic. It's not really, but it's based on a photograph that I put on Facebook. And it's my old sailboat. It was like a Hobie Cat-type sailboat. I sailed it for many years. And so you're going to hear the poem about the boat without looking at the I can't quite transmutate the photo into our cell phones right now. But anyway, it's called Dismasted. If I had but one picture to keep from my 18 years on the lake, it would be this Hobie named Slapshot, which pulled the morn's breeze in for my sake. Pointed well at the wind on a goodly stiff breeze, brought me home with early attack. We got 20 knots once upon whitecaps, the sunburned spray on my back. But she started to stray on a blustery day, and the fourth day did leave with a snap. And came down the mast, and down came the mast, and it dunked me at last. Old Slapshot was delivering crap. So deeming myself old and a man of less skill, I sold her one day to a man who seemed to like her. Off he went with her mounted and tacking the road, whilst I put sailing to bed, bidding sad adieu to this summer. But hold on, just a ripple. Slap shots, life's not done. Just last night, she appeared on my threshold. There she sat on a wave, her jib beckoning me. Come on, old man, mount me. There's a fresh breeze, fresh and bold. And I badly need once more to dump you. End of poem.
I enjoyed that one. That was, yeah, that was a really good poem. It was a really good piece and a good read, George.
Well, thank you very much. It was fun to write, you know.
Yeah.
It was, I had only a couple of years away from that boat, so it's still other than my marriage, probably the most important thing I ever did.
Sure.
Not really. Don't tell me about that. No. I appreciate it. And
of course.
Glad to be back, and I'll move on and let somebody else squeeze in here.
Hey, it sounds great. George, we always appreciate you, you sharing your work, and it just adds so much to the show. Thanks a lot. We'll hopefully talk to you during the return engagement.
Oh, I'll be here. Thank you.
All right. Great. Thanks. Bye. And that was George calling from Michigan. He's just become such a fixture in the show, just like so many of the people here, especially the people in this segment here as well. We've got so many, all-stars of the show that just show up every week, and we can't tell you how much we appreciate it. Speaking of that, there's a gentleman who's been calling from, like, the second week we started. And we're rapidly approaching 6 years, dude.
I know. It's so great.
Isn't that nuts? It's
awesome.
Like, we've got 3 months now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much 3 months until we're at 6 years of doing this show. And this gentleman, as far as I'm concerned, has been with us the whole way. Let's go to Dennis now in Michigan. Happy Friday night, Dennis.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Hey, Dennis?
I just like listening to myself. Wow. Hello, Dennis.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh, I think we might have lost him. Hey.
You know what? Let me hang up.
Yeah, we're going to hang up, Dennis. Room. Dennis, try to give us a call back. I'm going to pop this in here as well.
Yeah, we'll force the hang up and just have him call back, and we'll take it live.
No problem.
Big deal.
Yep. We've got this. No problem.
How weird.
Mary, I don't think Dennis has left the building.
That would be really interesting. He may have.
You know, maybe something happened. Maybe something
came
up.
Let's go to...
Let's just jump to Titus. To
actually...
Or
Mama.
Is it... Oh, it's Mama. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to go to Mama Oladeji. And then, Dennis, if you give us a call back after Titus or whatever, we'll work you back
we'll
in.
Work it back in.
No problem at all. Let's go now to Mama Oladeji in Cleveland, Ohio.
I'm sorry. We're going to go to Mama Oladeji. And then, Dennis, if you give us a call back after Titus or whatever.
Hello, Mama.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear you just fine. How you doing?
I'm pretty well, thank you. That was kind of scary. So I hope everything's okay.
Yeah, I do too. I do too. We're going to try to figure out what's going on here.
Okay, so I'll just get right into mine. This is a new piece I've written called Kith. Well, Kith, actually, K-I-T-H, which actually I fell in love with the word. And then now that I've used the word, I fell in love with the poem that I wrote from this word. And Kith, in case anybody doesn't know, K-I-T-H, some people know because I read it earlier this week, means akin to, it can mean kind, of your kind, kindred spirit, it can mean like your ancestors, anything that's akin to you, or a kindred spirit, or like you. That's what the word kiss means. So the name of the piece is called Kiss. I have told you who I am numerous times, but you just took me for a regular creature. All of you have failed the test of recognition, because I am not all human. Yet, it is just the human side of me catching up to my lost soul. My spirit has preceded me in space, time and perception. My daughter left me because she was my mother. My kiss no longer recognizes me because my thought patterns were antagonized by the misplacement of its pattern. My childhood is the grandfather of my thinking. My original kiss has fallen into the depths. This time, I came to experience those things that held us back, those things that prevented you from knowing me. I am not with the universal creator yet, nor am I yet with a total God mind. I am only privileged to be as an interpreter of what I have experienced, those foul and unclean that kept me defiled. So those things that have kept me defiled, I have experienced them so that you do not have to. I have been made pure and now able to rise as an exalted mother. And I come to seek those who want to know my reason for being and to let them experience through my eyes the realization of my extraordinary existence. My extraordinary existence came from a bout with celibacy when the zephyr came through my window and seductively filled me with an awesome bliss. Now I understood the magnitude of my sex appeal that somehow I had always rejected. I wanted only to be loved for merely being born. People trying to get inside or as close to me as they could, infringingly. They wanted to be a power over me or to sup from my body. But somehow they wanted to impregnate me with their own will. Though as an eagle or a sphinx I live, I soar. Sometimes I must cluck. But certainly they do not understand my language. I am not just by happenstance. I have happened to you. I live to pay my debt to you, yet if you do not make it in this sphere, I will call to you, and you will arise from the cinders. All of you who experience me as their mother will hear my call. And the earth, and while the earth burns, and while the water dwindles, and as the oxygen becomes toxic, I cannot develop gills again, but I'm here for you. And all who have followed my mind shall leap to new heights and new beginnings. And we cannot keep ducking around on the ground like chickens. It's time for us to rise again and to soar while speaking the language of our kiss, while speaking the language of our kiss. In peace.
Wow. Mama, that was fantastic. Great. Way to go.
Wow, thank you. Now, this just gave me the chills. Thank you. I just fell in love with that word, and I hope to see other poets use it. It's a really good word. Thank you so much.
Of course.
JT and Michael.
Of course. Thank you, Mama. We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you.
Michael Abernathy for president. Okay, just thought that.
You don't want me for president. I'm going to revoke everyone's security clearance and say, let's pack this up and go home.
I didn't say you, Michael. I said Abernathy. Michael Abernathy.
Oh, I'm so sorry. This just seemed like an odd place to say a name so close to mine on a show with me on it.
I know. I just want to get you to laugh. That's all. But I'm serious about that, though. Michael Abernathy. Oh boy.
Mama,
right.
Thank you.
I'm out.
All right.
I just can.
All right. Thank you, Mama. We'll talk to you soon. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio, laying it down. Picking it up. and slapping it down.
There he goes.
All right, let's now go to Dennis in Michigan. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
Ah, perfect.
How's it going?
I'm sorry. I got distracted there.
No problem.
My computer wasn't scrolling well, and I figured if I was going to read, I better have a printed page. So I went and printed it off.
We figured it was something like that. It's like, no big deal. We'll make it work out for him.
Yep.
But that was kind of rude of me. I'm sorry. I should have been more prepared.
You're okay.
It's all right, Dennis. It's okay. We're just happy you can be here for us.
Has anyone read a Catherine Lee Bates poem yet?
Not yet. No, we announced it early so you could have the context to do it here this evening.
All right. Well, I'm glad you have picked a female poet of the month. It's about time.
Yep.
And let's give her due.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I'm going to go for the favorite. This time I should have dug a little bit deeper, but this is so wonderful. I got to read it. So the poem I'm going to read is America the Beautiful. It's a poem by Catherine Lee Bates. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mounted majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crowned thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Oh, beautiful for pilgrim feet whose stern impassioned stress, a thoroughfare for freedom beat across the wilderness. America, America, God mend thine every flaw. Confirm thy soul in self-control, thy liberty in law. O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved and mercy more than life. America, America, may God thy gold refine. Till all success be nobleness and every gain divine. Oh, beautiful for patriot dream that sees beyond the years, thine alabaster city's gleam undimmed by human tears. America, America, God shed his grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. A poem by Catherine Lee Bates.
Great read, Dennis. And I have to tell you, when I was looking at her for the Poet of the Month, I had this in the back of my head. I really think I'm going to hear Dennis reading America the Beautiful, and I'm so glad you chose that one because it was everything I thought it was going to be.
I knew I got that vibe from someplace. Thank you.
I thought it was great. And, as we're all taught here in Colorado, she wrote that while standing on top of Pikes Peak in Colorado Springs. And because the earth is flat, she could see from sea to shining sea, as JT pointed
which
out.
So, that makes sense. Yeah.
Makes total sense.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah,
cool.
Apparently so.
You just got to get high enough to see both ends. Awesome.
No, Dennis, great choice, and thank you.
It's been a poem that's meant so much to me over the years.
Yeah.
And what a great poem she has written to honor this land we live in. And not to diminish the other countries around the world, but we have been so blessed here, and I am thankful that she has written a poem to honor that. So thank you again, and thank you for being so patient with me this evening. I'll try to be more prompt next time. And I'm going to step aside and let the next poet step up to the mic. I'm going to say, God bless.
Hey, God bless, Dennis. Thank you. One thing that really struck me about that poem,
yeah,
JT, is that Catherine Bates is was known as an activist, right?
Yes.
She's a really strong activist for equality and for all of this. And yet she can write a poem about the country like that, which reflects people being equal, reflects the beauty of this country. And I feel like now, and I'm not even going into the politics of either side, I just feel like now there is such a feeling in the air where I wouldn't expect any activist from any perspective to necessarily write with that kind of striking beauty, because everything seems so negative. And I think as artists, it is something to remember that beauty, you know, none of the poems of venom from that time stick around, but the poetry of beauty and something that reaches for the transcendent, that is a thing that we do remember. And so maybe, just as a suggestion, reaching for the transcendent is something we actually could be really considering at this point.
That's good thoughts. I like that.
Speaking of transcendent, though, yeah. I mean, no joke. This wasn't even meant as a transition, but looking at the name, I feel very confident saying this. Let's go to Titus in the UK. Good morning, Titus.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
Busy week. Went to bed at 7:30 last night. That's how tired I was.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. are you feeling rested now?
Oh, a little bit, yes. it's been a hectic week. I've got one more week to do at work, and then I should hopefully get a bit of a rest.
Oh, well, we wish you the best with that.
Actually, I wasn't in the mood for writing, but I go to the All Poetry site just to sort of like have a pop in to see what I can read, and saw a contest saying that Dragon Sorceress was leaving, so I felt very sad about that, but I didn't know what to write about. And then on Facebook, I saw this little video of a lady in a fountain. So I put this, I didn't really, really upset I was to see her go. And in Greek mythology, there's a fountain called Perrine. It was said to be a favored watering hole for Pegasus, sacred to the muses. And the poets would travel there to drink and receive inspiration. And I thought, yes, I think I'll use that. So it's strange. What I'm leading to is that people on these websites, you just see a name, like on this list here, Barbara, Dennis, and Stanley. If it wasn't for this show, you've actually given everybody who is a name a personality, and that's a great achievement for you, sir, you know?
Thank you. We hadn't thought of it that way, but Thank you very much.
So I wrote this poem for Laurie, that's her name, she's supposed to be Asteria, who is the daughter of Helios, who I am, and she becomes a water droplet, and then she it's a metamorphosis, she ends up as Cleo, so that this is the poem, and I've just, for the time being, titled it Angel Muse. Pardon me. Deity preserver, sadness, loss, a sole domain, my sanctuary has served replicas of a place worth knowing. The reasons I cannot be a reveler, any judgment of reality, dare I say that word dragon, you Asteria, giant among poets, exorbitant to titans, both extremes, far reaching of which my obsession became youthful, remains in your memory. Oh, never have I wept so much. The fountain conjoins with tears in union. Somehow, the physicality to touching water brings it youthful springs. Ostrus resina, sorceress who shows its inevitable longevity also. Residual muse, impassioned pleas of what use now am I to find her? Coily, Calliope, pastoral polymnia, Thalia. Her thrift became heroic, endearing trait, melpomene and erato who reveal a trustful nature, renditions of a poet who portrays a longing aspect and, as a reminder, endeavours to have us keep of her such words that she would write. It solves the problem part of the time, then replies to those comments, substantiate the past and not the present as the keeper to the histories. Terpsichore, Her vastness becomes an inescapable truce, a silent remit, held bound by sounds of water. I cannot see for crying. And a truth evolved, the muse, whose chief excuse to reach all suffering, a nine, perine, in name alone, to pacify Euterpe, she hardens to any mishap. Ochreous deposits are washed clearly as a diaphanous sprinkling woo, except that Melpomene, whose tragedy it was to see her go, is no excuse to keep my angel muse as I soul search to find myself this life exhibit. End of poem.
Wow, again. Titus, beautiful piece.
I try to virtually tell her that she's a part of everything that I know.
Yeah.
And that's the highest allocate I could give her. And your show as well, actually putting personality to everybody I know now in the poetry world.
That means a lot. And we're going to be in touch because we want to continue being able to do that and do it with more depth as well. And
I just want to say I have no doubt. I do plan on finishing with writing a little bit in a distant future.
Yeah.
But I can promise you this, that I will not just drift away and vanish. That's a promise.
Thank you for that. That means a lot. We'd miss you a lot if you did.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, thank you.
All right. Thank you, Titus. We'll talk to you soon. Bye. And that was Titus calling from the UK in the early hours of the morning, sharing just a really heartfelt, beautiful, and also intellectually solid piece as well. And you know, that happens with a lot of the work we have here. It's intellectually solid, but it's all in different ways. But I think the thing that's great, one of the things I love personally, is the kind of humor that we're able to throw out. Yeah, we'll do ridiculous humor occasionally.
Oh yeah.
But there's humor that happens on this show that I will try to explain to someone later, and they won't get it because they don't have the literary background of it, and it just makes me laugh. And I am really happy to be able to live in that. Now, JT's going to be working on something with Skype here while I kind of make this announcement.
To be honest, I don't think I can.
You don't think so?
No. Okay. I've been looking at it for a little bit.
Okay. Well, then we'll just go with what we can do. All right, so we're
going
to do kind of an announcement, though,
yes,
for tonight. It's actually not kind of. It is an announcement. We are, as of tonight, starting to take submissions for the 2018 World Poetry Open Mic Anthology. It's a thing we put out every year that really helps us showcase the poets even more,
yeah,
but then also helps, you know, and goes and supports the show. It directly, any profits for it immediately turn back in and pay for things like the web hosting,
yeah,
and Mixlr and all that stuff. So yeah, it doesn't even go into our pockets.
No,
it just goes immediately into
not
the tech and keeping everything going. So the way you submit, if you would like to, and you can submit as many poems as you would like, is just by sending them to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com and just put in the subject line anthology submission.
And even if you wanted to, put anthology 2018.
Or anthology 2018. I mean, or just for anthology or something. We'll get it.
Please.
And you know, just basic text form is great. And just make sure you have the proper, you know, spelling of the name the way you want us to use it. And then just send it to us that way. We will, of course, confirm if you're in it or not. Where we really don't do the picky editorial thing, but we really just want to make this a labor of love and put together the things that are contributed for us. We'll be accepting this all the way through Halloween, the end of October, so October 31st. By midnight Pacific time, we'll just call it that.
Yeah.
If it's a little bit after, it's no big deal. But that gives us time to get it ready to go and put out in time for the holiday season. So,
yes.
Anthology 2018, as of tonight, we are taking submissions, and it will go until the end of October.
Yeah.
Good?
Good stuff.
All right, cool. We've got some great submissions coming up this next time, this next segment, but we want to get five more unique callers, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
Hey, mister.
Hey.
Hey, mister, do you like poetry?
Sure.
Get in the van.
Okay.
World Poetry Open Mic, does this smell like chloroform to you?
Where I heard that line from?
Where?
I actually had a girl say that to me once.
Yeah?
Handed me a white piece of cloth and said, does this smell like chloroform to you?
Wow.
And strangely, it didn't.
Oh.
It was fine.
Oh, okay. Fine. It's a good thing.
I thought someday I'm going to marry that girl. No. No, I didn't think that.
You just go to that weird extreme.
Immediately.
Someday
immediately.
I'm going to marry that girl.
Yes, exactly.
She gave me this white cloth. I knew it had to have been something.
Yeah, it's just... Now I actually have had the idea of paying someone whenever I walk in a room to like hit this portable fog machine and throw a dove into the room before I walk in every time. And I'm like, hey guys, what's up?
Ever wonder where that? Oh, sorry.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, okay. It's like Tony Wonder.
Yeah.
That's right. Okay. So I'm going to grab really quickly, JT Stahl. Yeah. I got to grab Stahl.
Okay. Well, can't read that one.
Come on.
Well, I could read this. Okay. To provide innovative and responsive educational and economic opportunities.
I said Stahl. Don't put him to sleep.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What the hell is that?
Okay.
Okay. All right. I'm good. We're good. Are you you're reading the back of an incense container?
Well, I started reading below, and I can't read those languages.
This is good radio. Okay. So this one is a submission from a Jim.
Oh.
Who sent it in to us during the show. I think he's having some just phone and Skype issues, but he is obviously in the chat room here. And he says this poem is the first poem in his upcoming book. So we're excited. This is called Ode to the New Modern Man. I stand in awe of the demasculinized man, enduring decades under the knife of systematic societal surgery. A word here, a notion here. He emerges mentally emasculated, deemed worthy to bring progeny into the world, and little more, leaving the strong women whom we need alone to bear the burden of rearing a generation. So raise a glass to the men we've molded and celebrate the creeping chaos that comes from their making, which we call progress. Ooh, that's called Ode to the New Modern Man by James Rothline. James, I love it.
I think that's great.
I think there's a lot of great points in that one, my friend.
Yes.
Good piece. Thank you so much for sending that in. Once again, if you weren't listening before, if you want to send in something like Jim did, like Namrata did earlier, you can do it at worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. Just say submission in the subject line or go to worldpoetryopenmic.net. And put it in the contact form there. Those are the only two ways. Now we're going to be heading into the live callers. Let's go to Barbara in the land of magic known as Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
Now we're going to be heading into the live callers. Let's go to Barbara in the land of magic known as Connecticut.
The land of magic what?
Known as Connecticut.
Ah, yes. Magical, mystical Connecticut, yes.
Well, I figure, they have cheese sticks there, right? They have funnel cakes. Magic exists.
Yes, only, they do, if you go to carnivals and stuff. And yeah.
That's where magic comes from. They blow through town. Bunch of gypsies.
church carnivals, which I don't go to, but we're planning to go to a big food fest this weekend.
Oh, that's cool.
With like 40 food trucks. So we're thinking about that. I just want to say thanks to Mama who helped me with this poem. And I'll read it because we were talking about Aretha Franklin and she's kind of in my generation, and I grew up with her, actually, as a teenager, starting with hearing her as a teenager and moving on as an adult, and she's kind of the soundtrack of my life. And so I just wanted to write about something because I was very sad to see she was gone, and this is called Aretha. For Aretha Franklin on her passing August 16, 2018. I recently learned the iconic Respect, sung in the full voice of Aretha Franklin, was not the first recording of this song, And yet I feel she owned it. And she, with her take no nonsense, this is my song delivery, gives strength to us women to do just that. As we unshackled our feminine limbs from the cuffs we had worn for so many years, and now the struggle to find a way through the miasma of being a woman with men at every turn pushing us down, had a troubadour. She breathed fire into our souls, and when life was about to tear us apart, we heard those notes and the strength and conviction of her voice, and we persisted in moving forward to fight whatever came in our path. She was an inspiration to all who heard her, and she walked proudly in a world that was always trying to push her down. She cut through it with all her talent and drive, standing for justice and equal rights at all times, belting out songs as she fought side by side to bring an end to the age-old struggle, shoring up her friends in their time of need, and creating a space for other talented women. She was the queen of soul because she embodied the spirit of that truth, as she sang with the pain and suffering of people who had gone before her, bringing their blues and combining the gospel with her powerful notes blasting from her silken throat, voice of a people and voice of a generation who rallied behind her words, entreating us not to give in and to have respect for ourselves as women. And she brought the world to her feet. This child of a minister who only wanted to sing stood shoulder to shoulder with presidents and royalty. And in the process of her blessed life, she became royalty, emerging on the world stage and always true to her own beloved home, Detroit. When I heard of her passing, tears formed as I remembered all the times I had heard her in my head, each time I needed strength. R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That is your song, Aretha. You earned it. End poem.
I really, really like that one. I think, you know, her work means a lot to many, many people. Not even those who were around when the music, you know, first came out. They're just, she was just such an enduring artist.
She really, I mean, her words, that song, every time I had something to do, or something had been done to me and I had to, you know, do something about it, I go to her song because it just gave me so much strength, you know?
Mm. Yeah.
And she was always a part of all of these protests, every single one. And then she was a part of our life for a while because Obama loved her and put her everywhere he could. And then, you know, I felt she was such a strong person, such a good woman. And I was very, very sad.
Yeah.
Very sad when she passed away yesterday, and then I had to write something today. And Mama, who is wonderful, just she helped me with it a little, so I'm gonna give her credit. And it's hard when you lose somebody who has gone through like almost every decade of your life. You know, it's kind of hard. So especially an entertainer like that. And I felt really sad. But I feel better after writing that because I could get out all my feelings and, you know, whatever. And so I'm going to step aside, as Dennis said, and let the other people get on because it's only the second, you know,
the episode. Night is young.
And by the way, yeah. And by the way, I looked up Catherine Lee Bates, and I think I have a poem to read for next time. So
awesome. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Looking forward
to it. Talk to you in the return.
Sounds
okay,
good.
Bye, guys.
We'll talk to you then. Bye. And that was Barbara calling from Connecticut. It's a solid piece about Aretha. Let's now go to Alabama. Is this he need to call?
Yes, he does.
Okay. Stan, give us a call. It is your turn from the land of hopes and dreams, otherwise known as Alabama.
Hopes and dreams.
You know, I heard one time that they invented things that were mobile in Alabama.
Down in Mobile? Is that where you would say?
Yeah, your mobile phone.
Mobile phone. Got it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
There he is.
There he is.
Hello, Stan. How's it going?
It's going great. How are you, gentlemen?
Doing...
What a great Pete Barber.
I know, wasn't it? It's something real special. And, you know, that's how we feel with a lot of the work that's coming in here. But, I mean, that was a great one. And we're always just so happy to have you on here as well.
You know how we were talking, and I did that read of Sound of Silence, and you told me to listen to Disturbed.
Yeah.
Version of it.
Yeah.
Which was excellent, by the way. It was really put a whole different kind of texture and intensity to it. It really did.
Yeah. I mean, that was JT. You really liked that version.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Well, glad you enjoyed it.
And thinking of that, I just thought of Bridge Over Troubled Waters and Aretha Franklin's version of it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful one.
Yeah. That is a great voice that will be missed.
Yes, it is.
And since this is Catherine Lee Bates, our poet of the month.
Yeah, no kidding,
I've chosen A Mountain Storm.
Perfect.
Our blue Sierra shone serene, sublime, when ghostly shapes came crowding up the air, shadowing the landscape with some vast despair, and all was changed as in weird pantomime, transfigured into vague, fantastic form by that tremendous carnival of storm, pilgrim processions of bowed trees that climbed to sacred summits, and the clashing hail sudden shuddered like flagellants beneath the flail. Most gracious hills in that tempestuous time went wild as raging bulls with bellowing cry and goring horns that strove to charge the sky. Masses of rock, long gnawed by stealthy rime, with sudden roar that made our branches blanch, came volleying down in fatal avalanche. All nature seemed convulsed in some fierce crime, and then a rainbow, and behold, the sun went comforting the harbells one by one. And all was still safe, save the vesper chime from far faint belfry bathed in creamy light and the soft footfalls of the coming night. In peace. And man, did I stagger and stumble through that.
It's all right.
It sounds great with you. It sounds great no matter what. And trust me, I've been in that world a lot myself. So I you did well.
It's almost like I was sitting there going... I rented lips. Something went wrong here.
Call tech support. Somebody call tech support.
Really?
No, I really enjoyed it.
That is a poem that is just so full of incredible imagery.
That's true.
Really.
She was no joke, was she?
Huh?
She was no joke, was she?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah. I mean, the whole idea... Most gracious hills with that tempestuous time went wild as angered bulls with bellowing cry and goring horns that strove to charge the sky. Wow. I mean, what a visual that makes. She's amazing. She's amazing. Outstanding pick.
Awesome. I'm glad you enjoyed it. And you did a great job reading it, too. Thank you.
Well,
you did. You did.
Okay. I'll take it. Thank you. And on to the next.
Hey, thank you, Stan. Thank you. And that was Stan Collin from Alabama reading a great piece. And he's, you know, Stan's one of those guys who just has, he reminds me a lot of Titus. He's just got such a great reading voice for things, too. Always look forward to it. All right, now we're going to head to Mary in Arizona. Hello, Mary.
Hello, and good morning to you all.
Hello.
From California.
Oh, that's right. You're on the road. Where are you in? You're in Southern California.
I'm in L.A. in a bungalow overlooking the city. Some Airbnb we got for a song, and my daughters and I, we're in the land of Oz. It's such a beautiful place. I'm never leaving. I said, I'm moving in.
You know, it is a beautiful place. You know, I went out there last summer, and I ended up sleeping in a tent. not on the street or anything. Not that weird. No, I was in a friend's backyard. But
okay, I feel better now.
I wasn't like, I was there, and within 15 minutes, I'm on Skid Row. How did that happen? No.
That was a tough one. It's like, oh, tents are nice. Yes,
can
be nice.
Well, so what do you have for us?
So I have just a scribble. So I named it Spotted, Tasted, and Devoured. It felt right upon your spot where you resided in your head and brought me in, rapturing me like a dewdrop upon a newly morninged lawn, hovering in the laps of roundabouts and celestial phrases, whispered in earnest beds of confessionals, until the adventurous flow of the path subsided and just the aftertaste remained, like choking on palates too sweet to remember. And yet they were there just on the other side of that bold manifold and the settled glow of the light of summer's sunset now revealed, just as the scent directly before the seasonal shift moves me to tears again, bringing in falling leaves, whether I object or not. Ah, to taste the sweet summer just another time again. End poem.
That's a beautiful piece read from a bungalow in L.A., huh?
There we go. You can put that in all of the dreams of Stevie Nicks and more.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
To the next one. And R.I.P. Aretha.
Yes, R.I.P. Aretha. And Mary, thanks so much. We appreciate you.
Yeah,
we love
welcome.
You. And we'll talk to you soon.
Yep.
All right.
You too. Bye.
Bye. And that was Mary calling from Los Angeles, California. Now, speaking of Los Angeles, has anybody heard from Don Hagelberg recently? I'm asking for people in the chat room as well.
Yeah.
Has anybody heard from Don? We love Don's reading. We just haven't heard from him in a while, and we hope he's okay. All right. Now we're going to head to Eric in Texas. Hello, Eric. How's it going?
Hello. How's it going?
It's going well. Happy to have you, man. How's everything going?
It's going all right. Just another day. Overexertion and overexhaustion.
Yeah, I can imagine, especially with you doing the kind of work you do in the place you do it.
Yes, sir. That's it.
Well, what do you have for us this week?
Well, I'm actually not reading my own poetry this time.
Okay.
But it's all right. I'm going to read a poem called The Fifth Elegy. And it's one of my favorite poets. His name is Rainer Maria Rilke. He was a German traveling poet.
Oh, yeah.
He was actually pagan and then Christian and then pagan. And then he kind of went back and forth. But anyways, he wrote 50 sonnets to Orpheus. And this is one. Well, actually, that's one of my favorite ones. And then he did the Dunio Elegies is what it's called. And I got his poems in German and English in the book that I have in front of me. And this is from Ahead of All Parting, the Selected Poetry and Prose of Rainer Maria Rilke, edited and translated by Stephen Mitchell. So you guys ready?
Yep.
All right. The Fifth Elegy, dedicated to Frau Hertha Koenig. But tell me, who are they, these wanderers, even more transient than we ourselves, who from their earliest days are savagely wrung out by a never satisfied will, for whose sake? Yet it wrings them, bends them, twists them, swings them, and flings them, and catches them again, and falling as if through oiled, slippery air. They land on the threadbare carpet, worn constantly thinner by their perpetual leaping, this carpet that is lost in infinite space, stuck on like a bandage, as if the suburban sky had wounded the earth, and hardly has it appeared when standing there upright is the large capital D that begins duration, and the always approaching grip takes them again as a joke, even the strongest men, and crushes them the way King Augustus the Strong would crush a pewter plate. Ah, and around this center the rows of onlooking blooms and unblossoms around this pestle pounding the carpet, this pestle fertilized by the pollen of its own dust and producing in turn the specious fruit of displeasure, the unconscious gaping faces, their thin surfaces glossy with boredom's specious half smile. There, the shriveled up, wrinkled weightlifter, an old man who only drums now, shrunk in his enormous skin, which looks as if it had once contained two men, and the other were already lying in the graveyard, while this one lived on without him, deaf and sometimes a little confused in the widow's skin, and the young one over there, the man who might be the son of a neck and a nun, firm and vigorously filled with muscles and innocence, children whom a grief that was still quite small once received as a toy during one of its long convalences, you little boy who fall down 100 times daily with the thud that only unripe fruits know from the tree of mutually constructed motion, which more quickly than water in a few minutes has its spring, summer, and autumn, fall down hard on the grave, sometimes during brief pauses, a loving look toward your seldom affectionate mother tries to be born in your expression, but it gets lost along the way, your body consumes it, that timid, scarcely attempted face. And again, the man is flapping his hands for your leap, and before a pain can become more distinct near your constantly racing heart, the stinging in your souls rushes ahead of that other pain, chasing a pair of physical tears quickly into your eyes, and nevertheless blindly the smile. Oh, gather it, angel, that small flowered herb of healing. Create a vase and preserve it. Set it among those jars not yet open to us on that lovely urn. Praise it with the ornately flowing inscription, Subrisio Saltat. And you then, my lovely darling, whom the most tempting joys have mutely leapt over. Perhaps your fringes are happy for you, or perhaps the green metallic silk stretched over your young, firm breast feels itself endlessly indulged and in need of nothing. You display fruit of equanimity set out in front of the public in continual variations on all the swaying scales of equipoise lifted among the shoulders. Oh, where is the place I carry it in my head, in my heart, where they still we're far from mastery, still fell apart from each other like mating cattle that someone has badly paired. Where the weights are still heavy, where from their vainly twirling stick, the plates still wobble and drop. And suddenly in this laborious nowhere, suddenly the unsayable spot where the pure too little is transformed incomprehensibly leaps around and changes into the empty too much, where the difficult calculation becomes numberless and resolved. Squares, oh square in Paris, infinite showplace where the milliner Madame La Morte twists and winds the restless paths of the earth, those endless ribbons, and from them designs new bows, frills, flowers, ruffles, artificial fruits, all falsely colored for the cheap winter bonnets of fate. Angel, if there were a place that we did not know of, and there, on some unsayable carpet, lovers displayed what they never could bring to mastery here, the bold exploits of their high-flying heart, their powers of pleasure, their ladders that have long since been standing where there was no ground, leaning just on each other, trembling, and could master all this before the surrounding spectators, the innumerable soundless dead. Would these then throw down their final, forever saved up, forever hidden, unto unknown to us, eternally valid coins of happiness before the at last genuinely smiling pair on the gratified carpet? That's the end piece.
Beautiful piece by Rilke, and congratulations on tackling that one, Eric.
Thanks so much. There's some words I can't pronounce.
It's all right, man. It's Rilke.
He's one of my favorite poets, and I got into him actually when I was in the Navy. But I don't know exactly how I got into him, but no, I just wanted to read something that actually inspires me. Yeah, I know most people come and read, you know, read their own work, and of course I do too. But I think it's good to hear, you know, other inspirations as well. So,
oh, absolutely.
I went to an in-person open mic night tonight as well, and I read "Living is Hell on Earth," and I also read "Some Call Her," which was about Queen Elizabeth II.
Yeah.
And no one clapped for the first one. Probably maybe two people clapped for the second one. And the thing is, I live in a small town of nothing, and they're pretty hardcore about their beliefs.
Sure.
And so I had two people come up to me and tell me, well, ask me. They introduced themselves. I've never seen them before. And they asked me, they said, was your stuff original? I said, of course. And they're like, oh, that's awesome, you know. And this one dude was like, well, we need to find you or get you some more joys in life, because living is a hell on earth. The force is a very depressing, dark poem, and it's written for a dark poetry anthology for that reason. And it basically sums up all the bad things in the world, and that's why it's called that.
Yep.
And it's kind of a play. Oh, go ahead, Dave.
Eric, actually, you know what? Let's do this, buddy. I wanna really be able to get into it, but we've had you on for almost about 12 minutes, and so we're going to keep it moving. But call back during the return engagement, okay, dude, and you can share a little bit more, okay?
Okay, yeah. Sorry for taking up so
long. You're okay, buddy. We're just minding the clock. That's part of our job. That's all. No worries.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I could talk you to death, man. That's what I do.
Hey, that's all right, man. We're happy to hear it. We're just being mindful. So we'll talk to you during the return engagement, okay?
All right. Talk to you then.
All right, buddy. Talk to you then. And that was Eric calling from Texas, reading some Maria. I'm totally screwing up. Just Rilke. You know what's funny? I'm working on a book, like a new translation of Letters to a Young Poet from German.
Yeah.
And doing essays on it. And I've just butchered his name all week long for some reason. Just this week. Every other week, I'm fine. All right. So we're going to head into the return engagement now, right?
Yeah.
Now, oh, did you have something you wanted to do, or are we
I was thinking about this, and I'm bumping it down. So
got it. Okay.
I'm all good.
So we're going to go to – I'm sorry. I forgot you told me that.
You're okay.
Well, let's go to we're going to go now to the return engagement. That means anybody who wants to read again or anybody who wants to read for the first time, we're going to have this little call-in segment here. So in the order you receive, 720-240-9766.
That number again is 720-240-9766.
Or Skype ID, World Poetry Open Mic.
This is Draven from The Silent Still, and you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic.
And we're back here at World Poetry Open Mic, the Weird Al edition. All Weird Al, all the time. We're playing the hits and the things that aren't the hits. We're just going to play them because they're Weird Al. Everybody, just in case you didn't realize this, JT is a huge Weird Al fan, and you can thank him for all the Weird Al this evening. However, that being said, we have a great lineup of people who have called in and are going to be featured here on the... Dude, we don't care. It's fine.
It makes us laugh.
Yeah, we love it. So we have a great list of people lined up here that are going to be on the return engagement. We also have another submission that we will be doing at some point within it. I'm going to leave that up to JT. Oh, do you have it set right there? Okay, perfect. I'm not even going to tell anybody else on the air what's going on here.
That's right.
I just see it. So let's just lead right off. We're going to go, first of all, to George in Michigan. Hello, George. Welcome back. Hello?
Hello. Hey. I'm back.
It's all right. We were kind of speeding through that. Welcome back. How you doing?
To the return engagement.
It feels like that sometimes, doesn't it? Actually, I think the one that fits that better is the After Dark title, but that's just me.
Yeah, I know. I hung around listening to that, and you know I'm going to participate one of these days.
Well, it's gotten better, George. A few years ago, it was just hilarious. It was nothing but erotic poetry.
Okay, well that's fine.
Yeah,
my ears are well weathered.
It's just something weird about a couple guys sitting in a basement listening to erotic poetry together. It's just kind of weird.
I think so.
Yeah. The things we do.
Okay. Well. Yep. This piece I'm doing is. It's about materialism, and it's called Three-Car Castle. Why build a three-car castle based on your economy when nature gives for free a five-part harmony? End of poem.
I enjoyed that. JT, what'd you think?
That was great.
Yeah. He was listening. He was actually listening and reacting while drinking out of his diamond encrusted water bottle.
Well, you know, naturally, that's what I drink.
I'm afraid this stuff that crusts my water bottle isn't diamond. But anyway, okay.
George, thanks
a lot. I'm glad you liked it.
We really did. We really did. Thank you.
You can move on to the next one. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, George. And that was George Collin from Michigan leading us off here in the return engagement. Now, I remember there was a guy, and it's just so vague in my memory. There was this guy who called us from Texas. I've decided to nickname him the Franz instead of the Fonz.
Okay.
I think his name begins with an E.
Yeah.
Let's go to him. I think this is Eric. Is it Eric in Texas?
Yes.
Hey, Eric, what's going on, man?
Just doing.
We're just screwing around on you. Welcome back, man. You're in the return engagement now.
All right, awesome. That's cool. I'm doing good. Just another day.
All right, man. Well, nothing's changed in 5 minutes, huh? All right, fair enough, dude. Fair enough. Well, what do you have you want to share with us this time?
All right. I'm going to be reading another one of Philip Matthew Roberts' book, Lost and Found, and going to be It's called Musings of a Wanderer. Yeah. Musings of a Wanderer. Winds reminiscent of murmurous throats muttering phrases from the dead. All the hallowed spaces echo poems uttered unto marble foyers and endless corridors where stern visaged busts of history's greatest thinkers are decorously displayed for the sake of posterity. I embrace the sound, the way others wrap their arms around forms, voices cast between light and ancient stones, dry seeds split open by the sun, worlds that become dust. Watch as shadows mimic clouds the way I wish to parallel writers embrace from antiquity, though my own broken lines fail to demonstrate a balanced metric, wild as my unkept hair fallen on the page entangled, though ruled by my breath organic until the last faithful hour when my final song departs toward the greater silence found among those luminous celestial spheres burning before I was born. That's in peace.
I got to tell you, Eric, it is such a trip to hear you reading Philip, because you can still hear Philip in the phrasing and everything, mm-hmm. but it's totally not the way he would read it. And it's really cool. You know, it's just like interesting kind of mashup.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. Well, I was on another show yesterday and I was on a while back. I read Talk That Goes On Behind the Eyes when the Eye Wanders Anonymous, and I read that on your show too, mm-hmm. a while back. But yeah. Anyways, I was on another show, and the hostess was telling me that, you know, she appreciates me supporting and promoting another poet, and talking about the book and reading his work on the show. And I told her very quickly, I told her that, well, as much as I like being the creator of everything in my life, and I like being the creator of my poetry and everything that I can control in my life, there is something to be said of, one, a creator promoting and giving praise to another creator, well, first off, in the sense of any form of art, including literature and poetry, and even prose and every mix in between. But there is also something special and an adrenaline high, or as that's what I would call it, from being a fanboy or a fangirl too. So it's awesome to give praise to someone else and read their work on a show publicly, but also it's just the feeling I get, you know, whenever I do it. It's awesome. So
yeah,
but I've had people share and not share my work, and that's fine and dandy, because as you guys already know, I mainly write for myself. So
well, you know, I think that's big, man. Yeah, you got to get out there, dude. There's billions of people in the world literally not supporting and repping your work right now. You need to get out there.
That's right.
Hire some yeah, street, you know, sign correct. Spinners or something.
Yeah, that's correct. For real.
Yeah, you got it.
That's
man.
All good though. I don't care. The thing is that I actually met a couple of people when I was writing my second book, Nuances and Nonsenses. An anthology of nonsense poetry. I forgot who it was, but one of my friends on Facebook introduced me to someone in India, and he was writing quite similar to me. but it wasn't completely the same, of course. He was just writing the same form, like the same form. So that was pretty cool. And it was interesting. We became friends, and I think we wrote a couple of poems together, too. So,
nice, but man.
That's right. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, yeah. I don't know anybody that support. Well, I'm not. Of course, I got people that support me. But.
yeah. No, I get it for sure, man. That's what it's all about here, too. Dude, Eric, we appreciate you, man. Thanks so much for calling. Thanks so much for sharing. And we love it.
Well, thank you so much.
You got it, buddy.
I finished my newest poem. It's on Pan Chin, the 11th Pan Chin Lama, but I didn't want to bore you guys. It's pretty long, too. So I'm sorry about the long poem.
It's okay.
I didn't even think about it.
You're all right, buddy. You're all right.
All right.
Well, thanks so much.
You guys have a good night.
You
I'm going to listen to the rest of the show.
All right, man. Enjoy it and relax, okay?
Will do.
All right, buddy. Talk to you soon.
Thanks so much.
All right. Bye. And that was Eric calling from Texas. It's his second appearance on the show this evening. Doing a great job. Now we're going to travel. It's natural to go from Texas to the UK, do you think? Does that feel natural to you?
No.
Not at all.
Not to me.
I was trying to make it work there.
Oh, okay.
Let's go to the UK. Let's talk to Titus.
Good morning.
Good morning again, Titus. How are you?
Yes, still lively.
All right. You're still there. You're actually sounding a little bit more awake than the first time.
Yeah, well, maybe nerves. We don't know.
We're not sure. Well, we're happy that you're here. And
yeah, sure.
What do you have to share with us?
Another Earth Angel poem. This is a shadow acrostic for Dennis White. So it's a dedication to him. The Light Defenders, in this poem, it comes with a beautiful video. It's just spoken, but 13 minutes, you'll love this video, I assure you. But in it, there's two words, one called Urari, which means countless, and aberration, which means the departure from what is normal. So this is dedicated to Dennis White, a shadow acrostic Earth Angel. He surely is. Does the aberration of light and measure hint a distinctive fad? Egg on the celestials whose apparent movement does show vi. Niched atonement, each are found timed and placed at a station. Now Draco, spanning many centuries as you will discover soon, idolatry of physical movement once placed, you are given Urari, swathed in the beautiful blessing scene. Draco will tilt on its axis. Wonderful view the nighttime sky is. Stars will relate to the dew, helping to radiate contentment. The angels themselves are soft in spirit, with a little audacious and insensitive enough staccati towards any introduction as time did change, but now to escort, extend the warmth of greeting as you would usually have done. End of poem.
I really love this Earth Angel series you have going. I really think it's powerful.
I just wondered if I could play just the first sentence of that video. Is that okay?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Sure. Here it is. That was just a little bit.
Okay. And you know, it from what we heard, it sounded really beautiful. I think it was kind of the compression in the phone was kind of cutting it out a little bit.
So okay.
I don't think it was as good as it is as I think you wanted it to be. But, JT, no. What do you have to say?
I was going to say, Titus, if you can, put a link to it in the chat room for us.
Yeah, sure. All right.
Okay.
Then.
And that'll be great.
You. Yeah.
Cheers. That's the best bet.
No. Titus, thank you so much. We really appreciate you, and we really love your work. Thank you.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Bye. And that was Titus calling from early morning in the UK. Once again, we always appreciate what he does for us. All right. Now, Stan, if I'm right, Stan's going to have to call back in, right? Okay, correct. So Stan, get ready and give us a call now. You are up to bat, my friend. I kind of feel like there should be more Transylvanian accents in baseball.
One bat boy.
Like, it should be...
Yeah, strike one.
More vampire jokes.
More vampire jokes in
I think if
baseball.
I think if I was a baseball announcer, I would use a lot of vampire jokes.
Okay.
You know? Hey, Stan, how's it going?
It's going great.
All right.
Titus is absolutely amazing.
He is, isn't he?
Just, oh, man.
Yeah.
And leave it to him to take on with these angels an epic.
It's something that, you know, I really enjoy it. Yeah.
Just, oh, my God. It blows my mind. It really does. Well.
Well, so you're going to follow that.
Yeah.
You feel good for that?
Oh, thank you. I think I've been contributed to my delinquency by Mr. Philip Matthew Roberts and by Barbara.
Oh, yeah.
Things got a title to it. But it seems appropriate for it.
Okay.
Poetic response to the self-important, self-involved, self-righteous, ego-driven, theological, and scientific elitists as a rebuttal. Know it all. Bullshit. In peace.
Yeah. That's it. Great job, Stan. What is there to say? It said everything that needed to be said.
And what else are there to say? Exactly. So we're on to the next. And, of course, dilly-dilly.
Of course. It's not a thing. Okay. Thank you, Stan. That was Stan called from Alabama.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that was too funny.
That was
way
very funny.
Too quick, too. I'm like, wait
too.
A minute.
That's the thing. You keep drinking water and stuff to, like, stay cool.
Oh, man.
And,
yeah.
You know, while you're listening, and it's like, they're done.
Quick.
I think you've spit that water out about three times tonight, actually.
I think so.
Yeah. All right. Now let's go to Barbara in Connecticut. Hello, Barbara.
Hi.
Welcome back.
Yeah, I've been away so long.
I know. It's been such a long time, hasn't it?
Yes, endless. I missed you guys so much. Like early lovers, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I can't live without you. Are you going to the next room?
Man, you know, I mean, there's so much psychosis and crazy stuff that happens with that, but I do miss that at the same time.
Me too. Yeah. I do. I miss that a lot.
It's like I like all that, but not the crazy stuff that goes with it. But even though they're hand in hand. Yeah,
well, there's a lot in that early section. Kind of fun, actually. I would love to go back to that.
Sure.
This is called The Party.
Okay.
We dressed carefully and applied makeup, grabbed the bags of discarded things, including my husband's beloved Western shirts and our old Keurig we were bringing to the swap party, and got on the traffic-congested highway to Manhattan for the semi-annual swap party. Arriving a little late, we started unloading the car and dragged heavy bags to the door, expecting to find a party scene. Instead, we found only an empty room. The party was... Blah, blah, blah. Sorry, let me start again. Instead, we found only an empty room. The party was for next week. And poem.
Very, very nice, Barbara. By the way, you caught JT during another drink out of his water bottle.
The diamond-encrusted water bottle.
It's happened multiple times.
Water bottle.
You only get it when you're a haiku master.
Oh, sorry, not a haiku master.
I'm not either, Barbara. I'm just stuck with a plain old plastic water bottle over here.
I just have a cup.
Well,
I'm drinking like a human.
For some reason, I'm just cutting to Philip going, I drink out of my hand. No,
I hope he uses his hands. I think he goes right to the faucet.
Good point. Why use the hands when you can go straight?
If you're listening.
Oh, we're all, it's all beautiful, you know, great fun. We all love Philip here. Barbara,
indeed.
But love the piece. Thank you. And a really
thank
nice
you.
Read.
And I'll be back next week. And you guys enjoy the rest of the program. And
we will.
I don't know if there is a rest of the program, but just a fun night.
Thank you. Enjoyed it. Thank you.
Okay.
Bye. And that was Barbara.
Oh, by the way, before I go, just want to say that a friend of this show, Cynthia Sharp, will be on my show this Thursday coming up. So
cool. Okay. All right.
You might like to hear her.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Right.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye. And that was Barbara from Connecticut. All right. Let's go now to Cleveland, Ohio, to speak with Mama Oladeji.
And that was Barbara from
Hello, Mama.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
all right.
Yes.
Welcome back.
Thank you. I don't have a brevity poem or a haiku, but I do have something interesting here that I like to share with you. And this book has mold in it and like little tiny book bugs crawling around in it. So I'm getting kind of sick looking at it, but it has a lot of important notes. These books were passed down to me from family. So some of the notes in here, want to say the name of the book is called 14 British and American Poets, compilated by Rowland Collins. And I'm just going to read an excerpt from William Wadsworth because I see now where I get some of my thoughts. Especially those thoughts that I remember before I came to Earth when I was just still in the other realm. And this is called Ode, Intimations of Immortality from Recollections of Early Childhood. I'm just going to read an excerpt from it. And I'm going to also read some of the notes on the side so you can see why I'm so into poetry. It's been handed down to me for a long time. And an excerpt I'm going to read is, is it number five from that particular, it's got 7, 8, 9, 10, you got 11 verses, I'm sorry. And then from there, after they do Wadsworth, it goes into Keats. But I'm going to read number five from Ode by William Wadsworth. Our birth is but a sleep and a forgetting. The soul that rises with us, our life star, has had elsewhere its setting and cometh from afar. Not in entire forgetfulness and not in utter nakedness, but trailing the clouds of glory do we come from God, whom is our home. Heaven lies about us in our infancy, shades of the prison house begin to close upon the growing boy, but he beholds the light and when it flows. He sees it in his joy, the youth who daily farther from the east must travel, still is nature's priest, and by the vision splendid is on his way. At length, the man perceives it die away and fade until the light of common day. And that is that we have our thoughts before we get here, which I've always said that, and I always remember some of the things that went on. I remember thinking when I was in the womb. And it also speaks about why children want to grow up. And then that was on the side, it says God, absolute beauty, love, and views Earth as possibilities with that when we were with God as a new planetary idea of pre-existence. The day we were born is the day we began to die. And those are some of the side notes. Thank you for letting me share. William
Wadsworth. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mama. That was
lovely. Really good. Yeah. Lovely. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. We appreciate everything you bring to us. We really do. And you're very loved here.
And I feel it, and I thank you, and I think that's why I keep coming back.
Well, good.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah, we are too. All right. Hey, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next time, okay?
All right.
All right, talk to you then. And that was Mama Oladeji calling from Cleveland, Ohio. All right. Now, JT, I'm going to give you a second to finish doing your thing here.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
So when you're ready, do you want to kind of intro this thing here?
Yeah. So we were given a submission by Mary, and I took a look, and it wound up being one of her pieces of music that she
It was a video she sent to us, yeah.
So I'm going to play that.
As part of the return engagement.
As part of the return engagement. And just so that Mary knows, it's in place of number 7, because I know she's got a thing for numbers. I don't blame her.
Fair enough.
So we're going to go to that.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Maestro.
Reflection in the snow, cover your smile, the landslide, bring it down, down. And if you see my reflection in the snow, cover your smile, the landslide, bring it down, down. And if you see my reflection in the snow, cover your smile, the landslide, bring it down, down.
Great job, Mary. And that was, of course, Mary singing Landslide by Fleetwood Mac. It's a very, very popular, beautiful song. And, you know, JT, I told you my brother and my sister-in-law used to do,
that's
at least.
That's right, yes.
They did a Fleetwood Mac tribute thing. It was a good moneymaker for them as musicians.
Yeah.
But they would just, they have recently packed venues. And I think right around this time last year, they played at Red Rocks.
That's right.
And the thing that was funny is the person introducing them at Red Rocks was a popular morning show host, or now she's an afternoon show host on a radio station locally,
okay,
who happened to be my best friend in high school. And so she's up there, and she goes, "My best friend from high school, Mike's little brother's here." And instantly I get like 20 text messages. "Emily from this station is talking about you, and your brother's on stage. Like, what the hell is..." And I think I was like eating a sandwich alone. Like, story of my life. That's what poets do. We sit at home alone, eat sandwiches, and occasionally write something. Let's go to... That's depressing.
It was very depressing. But hey.
Let's go to Dennis in Michigan. Hey, Dennis, okay. You there?
Do you hear it?
Yep, I hear it.
Oh,
all right, so JT, hang up. Dennis, give us a call right back. We're having a Skype issue. That was not your fault. That was entirely the Skype. Well, we just had another.
Did you see that? It did so well.
Mm-hmm. It was doing pretty well. Doing pretty well. But it's not even a surprise at this point.
No, it's not.
It's just a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
There he is.
All right.
Okay.
Welcome back, Dennis, to the return engagement.
Yes, I'm in the right place. Yay! All right.
Well,
you
are, and you know, I think you are the last poet of the night as well, so you are wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up. Okay. Well, I don't know whether you've been aware of it, but there's been a little bit of theme going on here, and I would like to wrap it up with three haiku here. Not to rival the haiku master, but I'm just going to throw this in here. So here we go, three haiku. Try being civil with daily reenactments. New history repeats. Word economy. Thrifty with syllables, yet rich with insight. All hail the master. This one's not from Bethlehem, but still in PA. End of poem.
That was very cool.
Yeah. Really like that one. That was a good way to, that's a good light way to close it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yes, indeed. And we hail the master of brevity this evening, Mr. James Rothline.
Yes.
I'm waiting for him to, you know, drop a poem that's two words on us one night. And I think it's totally possible.
It's coming.
If anyone could do it, James could do it.
That's very true. That's very true. Dennis, thanks so much for everything.
Yeah, James, we tip our hats to you. Teach us a lot in the use of words and picking out words and cutting out all the extra stuff you don't need. And we really appreciate you, James. And we just wanted to let you know that this evening. And I hope you have picked up on the brevity of the poets that have been in the return engagement, and we just want to let you know that you are appreciated, and keep on doing what you're doing because you're doing a lot of good stuff. So with that being said, thank you so much, Michael and JT, for this evening and this program and allowing us to meet here. What a great family of poets we have here, and the door is always open, and we try to bring in new poets, and we will continue doing so, because this is worth it.
bringing new poets into the family, listening to new voices, because this is a great format. Thank you so very much.
Oh, thank
so
you.
So I'm going to leave you with that note, and I'm going to say God bless.
God bless, Dennis.
God bless, Dennis. Thanks so much. And that was Dennis calling from Michigan, rounding out our return engagement segment. I want to say thank you to everybody tonight. It's been kind of a short show, but I think it's been a really nice one. We're going to be on next week.
Yes.
Right? And then the week, and we'll be the week after as well, we do another show.
Yep.
But on September 7th, just giving you guys a heads up, we are going to not be on the air September 7th. I'm going to be in Betcher Concert Hall watching my brother as he comes through with the band he's touring with.
Yes.
Should be kind of a special thing. So I'm going to be doing that, but we've got a couple weeks ahead of us before that happens. So that's just to give you a heads up. Once again, remember, we're accepting anthology submissions. I've already received a couple, and just keep going with it. We love being able to promote your work and put it out there more. So from Ursa, the studio dog, from Nova, the studio cat, from JT and myself, thank you so much for all of your work and from all the camaraderie and the humor. We love you, and we'll see you again next time. Until then, keep writing.